Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Gracious God, we thank You today for being God and God all by Yourself. Thank You, O God, for being all that we need You to be, just when we need You to be. And even we don't ask You to be, You are still our God. And we bless Your holy name. Lord, help us today to let go of all the stress, anxiety, frustration, issues, difficulties, circumstances that come with this life. Help us to know when to take our hands off of it and just simply let go and trust You to move, to have Your way, to do what You know was best. Help us to trust You even when we can't trace You. Dear Lord, we ask now You forgive us where we sin against You, where we fall short of Your glory, where we miss the mark. And we ask, God, that You would give us another chance. We testify that You're not just the God of a second chance, but You're the God of another chance. And we ask that You would give us another chance to appreciate and experience Your graciousness, Your glory, Your power. And now, God, in this worship experience, we pray that You've been pleased with what You have heard and received from us. I pray it is a sweet savor in Your nostrils. And then, Lord, we don't want to leave without hearing from You. And we pray now, God, that You will speak a word to us, that we might be the people You've called us to be individually and collectively. Thank You for this word that You have prepared for us. I pray that we are hungry to receive what You have in store, so we come against any sleepy spirit, any complacent spirit, any bored spirit, any disengaged or detached spirit in the name of Jesus, or distracted spirit, that Your word may have free course to share with what You have us to know. So I ask now, God, that You will speak through me, speak to me, speak for me. Stand up in me, O God, that I may share Your word with these Your people. It's not my word, Your word, not my people, Your people. And we're so thankful for what's going to come after this sown word on today. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. If you got any praising, you're going to give it to Him now.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
To God be the glory.
Yes, God.
For the things He has done. Three or four of us can testify He's done great and mighty things. Maybe it's not for everybody. But two or three of us know God is worthy to be praised. On your best day, He was still God. On your worst day, He was still God. And He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We thank God for this blessed Sunday morning. God has allowed us to assemble and to worship Him in spirit and truth, to all of our ministers and to our collection of leadership and all of you, this aggregate group of believers. We thank God for this time together to worship God, bless God, and then to hear from God. Knows that the focus of it all is still God. Amen. I wonder today, did you come to worship or to wonder? I wonder who preaching. I wonder who singing. I wonder what's going to happen. But did you come to worship? And if you came to worship, you will not leave here empty. You will not leave here disappointed if you came to worship and praise your God. God bless you today. To those who are online, we thank God for you as well. There is a word from the Lord that He laid on our heart to share with you today, a teaching. And so this may bore some of you and bless others of you, but that's all right. From the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. We thank God for our young adult praise team and their chaperone, Minister Tate, for singing with them today. Hey, give God praise for them. Amen. Amen. She want to be one of them so bad. So bad. Let her have it. Let her have it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and we want to commence reading at verse number 1 and a few of the following. God bless you today. I know this is the fifth Sunday in March, but I need to make sure, did we take care of birthdays? I don't know why that just came upon me right there. I don't want March to miss out. Y'all worrying about April and stuff, and I don't want you to miss out on your blessing. There's still some glory. You got a day and a half to get some more glory out of this month. Now, don't you miss it. A little bit more juice to squeeze out of this lemon. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to begin reading verse number 1. Shucks. Verse number 1, Ephesians 4, verse number 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Say amen for the word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. May be seated in the presence of God. For a few moments today, we want to share with you about a challenge to the church. A challenge to the church. We have been in this month of sharing, talking about practical Christian living, living life as a Christian. And hopefully we've done an adequate job of showing you that it goes a whole lot more involved in this than just what we see on Sunday mornings. And that there's a real world we must live in. There's a real walk we must have. There's real talk. Real Christian living is more than just shouting and all that and dancing. It's really having to buckle down and live this life for the Lord. And we understand if we really looked at this series of sharing, we really looked at it from a practical, real standpoint, we understand that frustrations will come. Difficulties will come. Dangers will come. Sickness may come. Issues may come. But if you are still God's, by now you've learned that God will see you through. We've learned, beloved, that Christian living is not for the weak and faint of heart, which is why most don't adopt Christianity, because we tend to want to be with something that's going to be easy. Because of the society we live in, the world we live in, we tend to want to adapt and align with those things that are easiest for us. But the Christian walk is not an easy walk. There are some scars on this journey. There are some bumps and bruises on this journey. There are some hills and valleys on this journey. There are some ebbs and flows on this journey, which is why many won't sign up for Christianity. Because Christianity is not about stars, it's about scars. That you are putting yourself at risk of being persecuted, of being prosecuted, of being attacked, to be hated, to be disrespected, to be abused, that you put yourself in line for some difficulty to come. But we learn that real Christians are not in it for the gain, but we're always in it for the glory. That God has a way of getting his glory out of our lives, through our lives, with our lives, that we might be able to show forth his love, his grace, and his goodness. And I thank God today that I am a Christian. I don't care what, this is unpopular to say that in this day and age, but I thank God I am a child of God. I'm so glad he is my father. I'm so glad that I'm his child. I'm not just his creation. I am his child. I don't just have to call him God. I get to call him Father. That we have a personal relationship. He and I, he saved me. He redeemed me. He forgives me. Notice I didn't say forgave. He forgives me. He gives me strength, power, purpose, newness, protection, day in and day out. I'm just so glad to be a child of God.
And today, beloved, I just want to try to put this all together and wrap it up in a bow to help us understand there is a challenge that God has placed for all of us. Because if we're not careful, if you allow me these few moments to share with you, that we've got to be able to put this all together. Because we tend to think about ourselves as far as individual, but we've forgotten about the fact that we are a part of something that is bigger than all of us. That you and I not only have to give an account to God and to ourselves, but we have an account we ought to give to our brothers and sisters who are part of the body of Christ. And I love this book of Ephesians because the book of Ephesians is centered around the church as a whole, the universal church. It is primarily given to the church at Ephesus, but there were some neighboring towns and churches that were able to be receive this letter while Paul was in prison. I love to have people who know how to produce even when they're going through stuff on their own. And Paul was in prison and was still able to produce on behalf of God for the benefit of other people. Which tells me already something, that even if I'm Christian, everything will have to be comfortable for me to be productive. That I don't need good conditions to still be profitable for the kingdom of God. That means you don't wait till the battle is over. You don't wait till you come out of the storm, but you know enough by now to know that God is still worthy of your best praise, your best shout, your best worship, your best love, your best giving, even while you are in your difficult moment. I wish I had about two or three other people who just know that I've learned no matter what state I'm in, therewith to be content because God is shown you that through him you can do all things. You know how to be abased and you know how bound. You know how to go through it. You know how to come out of it because God is with you. So today we want to talk about this challenge that we have to the church. Because brothers and sisters, I must say this to you very honestly on this fifth Sunday morning. The church of God is under attack. The church of God is under attack from the outside, and beloved, the church of God is under attack even from the inside. The devil is on his job. That though the diabolical, satanic adversary of ours is doing all he can to upset our foundation, to upset our fellowship, to upset our kindness, to make us not love, to make us not support, to make us not commit, to make us not show up, to make us not stand, to make us not give, to make us not help, to make us not pray, to make us not believe. He's on his assignment to create all kind of chaos and havoc in our personal life so that it will mess up our public ministry. Did I talk good right there? He wants you and I to be so messed up on our own that we won't care about anybody else, won't care about God, won't care about his word, won't care about ministry. He wants you so personally frustrated that you won't help anybody else. He is on a mission to destroy the church. And so Paul comes today in this book of Ephesians to give this message to the local church, but also the universal church. Now, this word is for those who are saved and those who are yet to be saved. Today, we got to understand, chapter 1, he talks about that we are chosen people. If I could paraphrase these three chapters prior, that chapter 1 talks about we are chosen, that because God's just good. Not because we deserve it, not because we've been good boys or good girls, but just because he chose to save us, he allowed Jesus to die for our sin. See how y'all shut down and get happy? Because see, when you really understand something, when the preachers say the name Jesus, something ought to just happen in your psyche. When you hear the name Jesus, you ought to just think about how good you got it. But if I said money, you'd have got happy. If I said healing, you'd have got better. But you got to understand the source of your money, the source of your healing. I said the name Jesus. And God gave us Jesus that we might have relationship with him. We've been chosen to be a part of God's eternal family. Y'all admit, I know it don't matter, because we want to be like them. And we want to be like the Joneses and the Jacksons and the Trumps and whomever. But ain't nothing like being part of God's family. You talking about rich, you talking about wealthy, you talking about prosperous, you talking about picking in high cotton, mess around and be a child of God. I know nobody wants to hear this because everybody wants to be money-filled and everybody wants to be popular. But I tell you what, I'd rather have God and no money than have all the money in the world and not have God, because every day gets sweeter and sweeter. I know I am a child of God. We are a chosen chosen people. Somebody say chosen. That you didn't choose God. You missed it. That you didn't choose God. Because we were so messed up in our sin nature that we didn't know how to choose God. But God was so gracious. God was so good that he decided, I'm going to save you and make you like one of my children. Is there anybody on a fifth Sunday morning? I know you don't feel good. I know we ain't got a packed house. But can anybody thank God that he chose to save you? Flaws and all. We are a chosen people. Paul talks about in chapter 1 how there were Jews naturally, but then there's a group of people called Gentiles who were once called dogs. But that God was so rich in his mercy and grace that he allowed them dogs who ain't worth saving, who ain't worth being in church, who come, and somebody tell the truth about themselves. If people really know that your story, they might not sit next to you. They might not call you Reb. They might not call you Deke. They might not call you brother, sister. But can anybody tell the real truth that if it wasn't for God just thinking enough of you to save your soul, you look better now than you have lived in your life? Is there anybody who's so grateful that my future wasn't based on my past? That God was so much of a God that he took care of my past and he blessed my future. We are a chosen people. Then chapter 2 talks about the fact that we are a transformed people. And church, say transform. Now that's tricky now because he said that means transform means changed. Now that's the problem we're having because we got a lot of people who've been chosen but have not been changed. And it don't make good sense to be in church all this time, all these years, and you still mad. You still grouchy, still won't pay, still won't give, still won't support, still won't smile, still won't worship, still won't praise, still won't lift your hand. It don't make good sense to have been through all you've been through, all the hell and danger seen and unseen, and ain't nothing changed in you yet. So we are a transformed people. Says that we were once dead in our sins. But God, rich in his grace and mercy, saved us, and we are now his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. That means I'm not finished, but I'm still on the potter's wheel. Can anybody thank God I'm not where I ought to be? But blessed be the God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm making progress in God. I'm doing better in God because God is working on me and working in me. Let me help you as I hurry today. Let me help you. Be very careful about wanting God to work on you but not working in you. It's more important for God to work in you than to be on you. Because if he work on you, you're going to look better. But if he work in you, you're going to live better. Is there anybody who can thank God today that I'm living better even though I don't look like it? Sometimes I look like what I've been through, but I've learned how to take a licking and keep on ticking because God has placed something in me that's improved my life. Then, in chapter 3, not only are we a chosen people, a transformed people, but we're not called to be a loving people. Paul asked them in chapter 3 to be a people who are so gracious, who are so grateful for what God has done, that we want to learn more of him. And we want to love him, that we can accept that love that God has for us and then apply that love. Y'all missed it. That because we understand, Paul says, I want you to understand how wide, how deep, how tall and how expansive the love God has for you in hopes that you will want to be able to express that same love to your brother and sister. Maybe today the problem is that we can't give something we ain't received. There it is, that quiet it got. I can't give something I myself have not received. I want to help somebody today. Stop humanizing God. God, I want to help about 3 people. God know you jacked up and still loves you. Now, he loved you too much to let you stay in the same shape. That's why he keep correcting you and challenging you, but God loves you. Nothing you can do or say is going to stop God from loving you. Now, what you letting stop you from loving God? And what are you letting stop you from loving people? This is a challenging chapter, chapter 3. It's challenging because it's what you got to understand what's been done for us. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is doctrine. But we're in chapter 4. That's duty. Try it again. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 what's been done for us. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, what we're supposed to be doing. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, that's theological. Chapter 4, 5, and 6, practical. That you are motivated by what you've learned in chapters 1, 2, and 3, that you're not going to live chapters 4, 5, and 6. And in between, that sandwich in between, this doctrine and duty is a doxology. Verses 20 and 21 in Ephesians 3. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, you can ask or think. Y'all got your Bible open still? Chapter 3, verse 20 says, now unto him who is able, I thought I was in the right church, to do exceeding abundantly above all you and I can ask or think. You know why that shouts me? Because that even if I pray big prayers, I got a God who's able to exceed anything I can even say or imagine. Can I tell you what's wrong with the church? We won't even pray big prayers to a big God. See how y'all shut down right there? You keep asking God for just that little bit. I dare by three people to ask God for something big in your life because you already heard that he's able to exceed what you can ask for. Now watch this. Yeah, I know, because see, we sometimes normal that we keep thinking God is normal. I don't think we understand how big our God is. And the problem we have is we put a lid on him because we put a lid on us. Look what Paul said. He said, now unto him who is able. Now, long as it's in your hands, he ain't gonna be able. You won't know he's able till you give it to him. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Look at three superlatives. Exceeding abundantly above. Missed it. Y'all missed it. Exceeding abundantly above. What you can ask or even think. But the problem is we won't ask or think to give him a chance to do exceeding abundantly above. You keep bringing him here, and so his exceeding abundantly above is just going to work. But maybe if you ask a big prize and take the lid off, you'll own where you work. Thank you, Lord. I'm hanging around too many basement dwellers. I just need two people who say, I'm taking the brakes off my God. I'm taking the lid off God, and I'm not afraid to ask God for big things. We are so oppressed and depressed and repressed, we won't even ask God for progress. I'm going to say this to you. I got to move on. I'm going to say this to you. I'm sick of showing up at church with people who don't want nothing. I'm sick of living around people who don't want nothing. If God can create a world, if God can put wetness in water, sweetness in sugar, hold the sun in the sky, stars in the universe, you mean he can't do amazing things in our lives? I'm sick of hanging around normal people who don't want nothing. Here I am, your poor, weak, humble servant. I'm just trying to help somebody in their prayer life. This ain't the sermon. I just want to help somebody in their prayer life. If you ask anything in my name, according to my will, I'll do it. So why won't you, if you in his will, why you won't even ask him? deep down, let's tell the truth, church folks, we do not believe he'll do it. That's why church, being a part of the church, is not powerful anymore. That's why it's not profitable. That's why it's not exciting, because we ain't even expecting. Most of us came already knowing what to expect. Let me go on up here and do my thing, stand on my post, be in my place, so I can go and go back home. Didn't even say, Lord, blow my mind today. Lord, bless our socks off today. You came to be ordinary. All I'm asking you to do, church, don't blame the Lord. Don't blame the Lord for us living like we living. We can have better, but somebody's got to want better. So, that doxology was meant to be praise, but just like it is now, you can't get it off the ground because we won't do exceeding abundantly above. So in between that was supposed to motivate chapter 4, verse 1. Understanding what's been done for us gives us, number one, let me hurry and get in because I'm in trouble, a committed alignment. A challenge to the church. This first challenge is to operate in a committed alignment. Well, preacher, what do I commit to and what do I align with? I'm so glad you got your Bible open. Therefore, Paul says, as the prisoner of the Lord, I ask you, I urge you, that you commit yourself and align yourself to the vocation associated with your calling. Now, I try to be a pastor and teacher that will rightly divide the word of truth, because we will take a lot of the English and make it suit something that ain't what God said. We will misapply God's word. Vocation, my friends, is not what you do on Sunday morning. Vocation is your course of life. That you live your life in a certain way that's different than everybody else. And you won't do that without a commitment. And you can't commit to something you ain't been called to. The calling that Paul's talking about in verse 1 ain't preaching, ain't laying hands, ain't operating your spiritual gift, it ain't cooking, it's being saved. That you and I were called to be saved. And since we've been saved, we have the power to walk and live a certain way. So maybe we're asking people to do something they never accepted. Paul says, I urge you, I encourage you. Now, look what Paul says. I'm in prison. Y'all free. How am I doing better in prison than y'all who out? I'm bound and I'm more free than y'all out and you bound. Some people really got problems. Here you and I are able to lift our hands, able to give God our best, able to love God, able to worship God, able to support ministry, and we act like we bound. But then somebody in a hospital bed got their hands lifted. Somebody right now in prison tuned into this worship experience, and here you are, been in here 59 minutes, ain't smiled yet, ain't lifted your hand, got your arms folded up with your chest out like God done something to you. So, now watch this. He says something interesting here. If we go be the real church, we've got to understand how to align with what he wants. That's interesting, y'all, because in Ephesus, beloved, Ephesus was focused on stuff. If I can just really boil it down. Stuff. And their assumption of church was buildings. Budgets, programs. What we finna do? What we go wear? Microphones. My job. My income. Being the boss. Miss church looking for church. That their identity of church was the building, the institution, but were disregarding the individuals. Organization, but not the organism. Oh, I love this. This is a good word. This is a good word. This is a good word. Because we didn't come, most of us are not operating by what has been calling us. We were called to salvation before you're called to operate in the gift. And I think what's done happened to our churches is that we got people operating the gift and they ain't been called to salvation. Do you even love Jesus? Have you even sold out to him? Because you can't work for somebody you ain't sold out and submitted to. If you, let me help somebody who's trying to walk this Christian journey. If you want to call the shots, you might not want to be under God's guidance. Because when you're under God's guidance and you sold out to him, you can't just have your way all the time. Help me understand something. If the Savior of the world had to accept not my will, but your will, how come you got to still get your way? If God didn't even care about his son's opinion, what make you think he gonna stop his agenda because what you feel? Bathroom break time. Stomach finna start growling. Because the question I got, did you answer the call to salvation? I ain't asked you, did you join church? Did you accept the call to salvation? Then you're supposed to commit yourself to him. I know it's boring. That's why I say, go, boy, you'll bless you. He says, because of what's been done for you, as a prisoner of the Lord. Now, Paul said, I done gone through stuff for the cause of Christ. And I'm trying to get you to understand that you got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, if you say you're a Christian, be a Christian. Watch this, no matter where you are. Don't just be up in here shouting like one Sunday. And then don't speak all week long. Now, this is so elementary, but yet it's essential, because we're skipping steps trying to be heavy. The church, that's why it's a challenge to the church. All of us got to look at ourselves and stop and think, did I even accept Jesus as my personal Savior? Was I even convicted of my sin and turned to him? Or did I just join church and I've been hiding all this time and have not changed anything? Now, if you ain't like that, not gonna like this one. Because the second aspect of the challenge is for communal agreement. Now, communal agreement is a bunch of $2 words meaning be a blessing to your brothers and sisters. And you got to fool with other folk. And watch this. Y'all ready for this? You got to want to fool. Not just understand that I have to, but because I've been changed, I want to. That's so profound, because we're treating each other like a chore. We're not loving like we should. We're tolerating. You see, where your heart is, there's your treasure. Them jokers on the streets, that's where your heart is. That's why you treat them better. Lord help. on that job, you grinning all the time and so helpful because that's where your heart is. But you don't. You've been told that church folk ain't no good, and you had one or two experiences, so you in the same house, but you not got the same heart. That's why I'm glad we kind of had a high moment early, because I knew it was going to take a turn here. Paul says that it's not just you and the Lord. That part of loving me is how you love people. Shut up about how tight you and God are and you mistreating your brother and sister. God, I really want to talk about something, but I can't. God really want to tell a few of us, if you ain't talking to them, don't talk to me. Ain't no sense you praying to me and you ain't speaking to somebody else and think it's all right. Ain't no way you connected to God and he ain't challenged you by how you handle people. Ain't no way. Because he told his disciples before he left here, by this shall people know you're my disciples, that you love one another. So if you avoiding and disregarding and ugly too and cold and callous, what kind of heaven you going to? And that's how come you can be gifted and not even saved. Can I show it to you in the text? Look what Paul says. Paul says, I urge you, since you understand what God has done for us, now this is what you can do for God. And what you do for God is how you do with other people. Ain't God messy? God say, I done this for you. Now you want to show me how you feel about me, treat them right. And as you treat them right, you're treating me right. God is saying to some of you deep folks, stop bypassing me looking for me. Ooh, Jesus, help me today. Jesus, when was it that I was hungry, you were hungry and I didn't feed you? When you did it to the least of these? You did it also unto me. If you arrogant, you ain't his. If you pompous, you ain't his. If you ugly, you ain't his. If you're cold, you ain't his. And you're bypassing Jesus looking for Jesus. I'm going to teach this thing. I don't care how you're looking at me. It's got to be a communal agreement in the house of God that I'm going to work with others and I want to. The most insulting thing somebody can tell us, I love you because I got to. My man, my lady, you choose. God don't make you do nothing. He encourages you, he propels you, he compels you, he don't make you do nothing. You choose to love. That's fake Christianity. I love you because God said I got to. Looking like that? Acting like that? That ain't what this is about. See, I know why we don't like this teaching too much. Because it really don't have a whole lot to do with you, but it's got everything to do with you.
Yeah.
It's not about what you go get, it's about what you ought to give.
Yeah.
And nature, your nature is selfish.
Amen.
Everybody's nature is self-involved.
Right.
And when you do God's way, you don't get a lot of self-gratification.
Right.
You just got to be okay knowing I did it God's way. They never call my name, they never appreciate me, at least I did it God's way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is the right word for today. Look what he says, verse number two. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Look at that word, with. That means taking it with you, having it in your possession. With all lowliness and meekness. Hey, God knows people. God knows us. And God knows how to possess us with what we need to help and minister to people.
Amen.
Now, we have different variations. Minister, can I see your Bible? You got your Ebony Jet Bible with you? That's the most hood version that we have available to us. All I have is the King James translation, but I need Mr. Takes a Hood Bible to help us. Oh, Lord, look at that big old Bible. Deacons, help her help bring that big Bible. Are these the cupcakes I was supposed to have last week? Are y'all listening? You got your Bible open? Ephesians 1. All right. I got the King James here, and I got the Boondocks Bible. Ephesians 4. And we heard that we ought to have a committed what? Alignment. Align ourselves with God's way, not our own way. Yeah. Commit. I gotta commit myself to it, to walk a certain way, because I'm a child of God. Yeah. Gotta be different. We as a church, we gotta be different. Two, we got what? Communal agreement. Look what verse number 2 says. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. If I can find it. Verse number 2 in the Hood Bible. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. Because you got love in your heart. That's not with them changing. That's you being able to adjust and find agreement no matter how they are. Because both y'all can't be a fool. Will you do me a favor? Tell your neighbor the Spirit makes it work. Now, I'm going to read it King James one more time because y'all shutting down on me. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Hood Bible say, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other, other's faults because of your love. Yeah. Is it anywhere, deep folks, does it say match their energy? No. That's what you hand God. That's what you hand us. I'm just doing you how you do me. That's not what he says. He says, you will represent me. You calm down. You be humble. You be patient. And you can do it if the Holy Spirit resides and presides in you. You can do it. But here's the shout, though, y'all. Y'all ready? Forbearing one another in love also means putting up with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing I love about the church, and I'm finding out about the church the more I deal with the church, that ain't nobody gonna put up with us like the real church. Yeah. Yeah, I know y'all ain't gonna say amen on that. The only place that accepts you, flaws and all, is God's church. I've learned something. Y'all ain't gotta say amen. I learned something God had to show me, and I had to see it for myself. Y'all don't pull this mess nowhere else. Because everywhere else, they got rules and regulations and policies that if you want to keep a job, you want to keep that money, you want to keep that man, you want to keep that woman, you go act right. This is the only place you cut something like a fool, and we still love you. I come to sound the alarm. It's not because you're getting over. It's because God's love rests in our heart, and we've learned how to be patient. We've learned how to be humble. We've learned how to be gentle. We've learned how to put up with you because God's love is in our heart, not because you're getting over with your silly self. I want you to think about it. Think about it. Where else do they act a fool? Where else are they ugly to folk and cold and don't speak to the boss and... Who with good sense? I don't know why I picked this up, but... Who with good sense? Would hold a little Debbie cupcake while preaching. And then the critical question is, who would have one in their Bible? Somebody got to put up with it. Y'all see this? Watch him at work. Who with good sense and good spirit walks by your man of God and don't even acknowledge him? Who with a holy boldness, who with a holiness on the inside walks by a brother or sister and don't even just nod your head, good morning? But you get to work, morning, 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 morning. It's a beautiful morning. But you get up in here. And you think you're getting over. Because we still accept you. And just because you're accepted don't mean what you're doing is acceptable. Here's what I learned. You got to give an account to God for how not only you treat people, but how you let people treat you. Don't tell that lie, everybody hates you. People love you. You don't want to be loved because you don't want to love. God's love is unconditional. Yet most of us trying to conditionally love God and love his people. That's why you got to be changed every day. That's why you got to work at this every day. Because guess what? He says, God ain't worried about how you feel. He know what his words say. And if you base your doctrine on how you feel, what happens when you don't feel like that tomorrow? Every day ain't no bad day, contrary to what you be trying to make people think. Every day ain't no bad day. You can't sit and wait in church, but you'll sit in that line all Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Because you think it's a treasure you're going to get when you go down that little hill. But you're impatient when it comes to the body of Christ. I can't, my spirit can't handle it, but your spirit can handle waiting on some shrimp and some crawfish and tater and some corn. I did it last week, y'all. I want y'all to know this. I did it. I got in line last week. I did it. Because as a pastor, I needed to do it. And I was hungry for some shrimp. I did it last Saturday. I got in line. And I want to say something to y'all. I don't know how you do it. It was 7 cars in front of me, and I almost lost my mind. And I didn't mean to. God just worked it out for me. In front of me and behind me were some members. It got dark, so they ain't know I was in line. But I knew they was in line. Had no problem waiting, no problem sitting there taking those. They told them, we out of crawfish. I heard some words come out that were not great thou art. But they stayed in line and handled. They didn't cut in line. They ain't try to zigzag. They stayed in line waiting on that. But we can't get in line doing this. I can't align myself with this, but I can align with that. See how quiet y'all got right there? Now, I don't know when I'm going to get back in line again. Because I just. Then you got to order. I didn't know that, you know, I'll shut up. I didn't know that the butter didn't come with it. I ain't know. And when I found out, I just got my own butter and melt it in the microwave. I'll be doggone, I go back. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Y'all see it? Make every effort, Mr. Tate Bible say, to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Look what Paul says. He says he understands it won't be easy, but you got to make every effort. And the Spirit of God is the glue. It's not a program. It's not no color. It's not going nowhere. It's the Spirit of God that you say you got in you, and I say I got in me, that will make us both work together in a peaceful manner. Now, if one of us does not have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, it'll never work. Now, may I say this to you? I'm just teaching today. That you don't create unity. Can I say this to you? We're spending too much energy trying to create unity. Ladies and gentlemen, according to what we just read, the Spirit of God already has created unity. We just have to maintain the unity. God has brought us together. It's up to us to stay together. Y'all missed it. Anybody receive it? Go give God a praise if you receive it. I don't create unity. I already have unity because the Holy Ghost is in me, Holy Ghost is in you. We're already unified. We just got to work to maintain it. You don't create unity. That's what Jesus died for, was to restore us to God. And if we're connected to God, we ought to be connected to each other. Amen. So to those of us who just can't and won't do it, it's not a big deal because you the one ain't got the Holy Ghost. So what I'm saying to you, stop shouting and you can't work with nobody. Hush, you might as well hush. And that's why people look at you sideways, because you're always hollering and jumping and you mean. How are you going to help them, but mean as hell? Don't work like that. Well, it's just my personality. You can't use that, because if any man is in Christ, he's a new. So God don't want to hear nothing about your personality. I'm shy, not everywhere. If you're shy everywhere, I get it. But if I done seen you cut up, boots on. I figured it out. Y'all been waiting on it. I figured it out. I got it. It took me a while, but I figured it out what y'all was doing. You got your boots on the ground. We won't bring your behind to church. Don't mean stop fanning, sisters. I was just talking about not the funeral home fans, the church fans, the other fans they're using. Neither ain't know what to do right then. I'm talking about that needle. See, we don't have no problem. Where my fans at? That's crazy. Oh, I got my boots on the ground. And before you even get the idea, don't you do it. I saw the TikTok too. Don't do it. Mike, don't you let them talk into that. Mike? No. Listen. Working, endeavoring, aspiring to maintain the unity that comes with being a child of God. Yes. See, y'all, you would never appreciate being a member of New Zion until you appreciate being a member of the body of Christ. Right. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you ain't gonna understand being a member of a local church. And you ain't gonna understand the need to. God never called you to be a free agent. Got quiet again. Well, a communal agreement that we work to agree, find agreement with one another. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. They're calling again, salvation. As we are expecting God to continue to move in our lives, we're working with each other in anticipation of what God will do next. But the mere fact that you're saved, I'm saved, we're going to work together because it's just one God, it's one body and one Spirit. Now, we got some factions and we got some cliques, but ain't but one real church. Now, I learned by now, after about 13 and a half years of this, I'm not everybody's pastor. Some of y'all got some sub-pastors. You look to them for guidance. And that's why y'all keep messing up, too. Because ain't but one body. One real body. And one Spirit. And if your clique and group can't connect with the overall, it's the wrong Spirit operating. You got you about four or five nuts who don't know no better, and they go along with that foolishness. But it can't ever hold up, can it? Tell the truth and shame the devil. It never holds up. Or y'all popular for a minute, having Bible study at home and group texting, thinking that the Holy Spirit don't show you. Doing your own thing. It never holds up. Because they but one body, created by one Spirit, and kept by one Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to authenticate mess. Confusion. Disrespect. He won't even show up for that. You can have a good time in with your little meetings, but the Holy Ghost don't ordain it. What am I saying to you? If we one body, one Spirit, what you've heard God send to your man of God, you take that and go up elsewhere with it. You ought not be teaching a different thing. That's why I'm going to say this to you. It's a challenge to us as a church, y'all. I'm about to go. It's a challenge to us as a church because, is it okay I'm teaching like this? It's a challenge because the society is really attacking the church. And we take clips. People take clips concerning the church and who God has ordained and anointed to fit certain agendas, telling you not to trust God, don't trust the church, don't trust the pastors. And we get stuff out of context. That with Bishop Marvin Sapp, that was last year sometime. It wasn't just recently. And it was a convention where it is based on money. You got to have money to operate anything. But it sounds better to say, see, that's how them preachers is. He didn't say lock the doors, he said close the doors. I got a couple texts from my usher this week. Try it. There we go. They all send me that text. Try it. All kind of stuff coming against the church to make you not think it's all about being part of this body. All kind of confusion to make us not trust, to make us not connect, to make us not commune. Because the devil knows there's a blessing in unity. But see, it's trouble, y'all, when the devil know it, but a deacon don't. It's trouble. He ain't afraid of a gifted church. He's afraid of a united church. Yeah, he is. He ain't concerned about no gift. But when we united by the Spirit of God, he understands that's an unbreakable bond. But he'll have you thinking you don't need us and we don't need you and it don't matter if I show up, don't matter if I'm there. He'll have you doing all that kind of stuff to make us cut each other off and use any kind of foolishness to do it. Be mindful of eating from so many different tables. I understand Pastor such and such is really cool. I understand Bishop such and such is really cool and they saying some good stuff. But you don't serve there. If that's who you want to be your bishop and your pastor, if something happened, call them. Because it ain't fair to ask other people, or it ain't right or practical, to make somebody else clean up a mess somebody else done created. You sitting up on that kind of doctrine and then think it's our duty to fix this. I don't even know where you got that from. But Pastor Sutton said, say this. He was really cool. He wore earrings. So? Sunset say this, they really cool. They got lights and theatrics. So when you get sick, call them. Need a funeral? Call them. I'm talking good. Something go wrong, call them. Because we ain't good enough to teach you, we ain't good enough to keep you.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 890.